Hello, brothers, sisters in Christ. Yeah, nice to meet you. And then God is going to do some great and practical thing today. So are you ready? Okay. Good. I was praying for you and Mount Zion every day, almost every day. I was thinking, hey, it's time. You have been prayed a lot and long years. Now it's time for God to use you for expanding His kingdom through you. Okay, now it's time. So, yeah, you know, as you know, in the Bible, whole scripture, there are two important poles for all believers must carry out. What is it? You guess. The first pole is the great commandment, which is Matthew 22:34-40. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your will, all your strength, right? And love your neighbor as you love yourself. Yes. And what is the other pole for you to must carry out? Matthew 28:18-20. Go and make disciples, right? So I've even heard, at least in my area, local church, they teach pretty much the great commandment, right? Yeah. But not many times I could hear the great commission. Okay, so maybe if I say 80% of local church teach the great commandment, but only 20% only teach and for great commission. So okay, so now Mount Zion is time right now. Okay, amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And actually, 20% of local church teach the great commission. What is it? But rarely I could hear how. They say, "Hey, go make disciples." That's great, but how, right? Almost I couldn't hear. So now, for Mount Zion, it's time to hear how also, okay? Okay, so, okay, let's go. The great commandment, which is Matthew, okay, good. Matthew 22:34-40. Hey, sister, would you read? Are you able to read, please?
But when the Pharisee had heard that he had put the seducers to silence, they were gathered together.
Amen.
And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen. The law and the prophet, the Jew, Israelite people think law and prophet is about the Old Testament. Okay, law and prophet is the love God and love people is hang on the whole scripture. If you squeeze whole Bible, you are going to see one sentence: love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to ask your all attention to all, right? When you love God, you have to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, right? All your strength, right? All. In Greek, it's all. Okay? Literally, all. You know, the First Corinthians chapter 13, there are many characteristics of love. It's between man and man, between people. But, you know, can you go? Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. Hey, Burmat, would you read? Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6.
Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a must firmament flame.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hey, the love, what is the characteristics of love for you to love God? It must be love is strong as death. Okay, this is definition. God says love is strong as death. Why love is like a death? Strong, right? Because death is so strong. So strong. Why? No one can defeat death. All living being, human being must die, right? That's why death is so strong. Death is so strong. But God says, love is so strong as death. Okay, if you love God with this kind of love, you are not going to have any fear. You are not going to save anything. You are going to give your life even, okay, without fear. Because love is so strong as death. So God requires that kind of love, okay? That's why when you love God, you have to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, right? Yeah, that's why love is so strong as death. So when you love your neighbor, love them as yourself. I can say Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Can you read? Matthew 7:12. Okay, right there.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Okay, again, amen. Law and prophets is familiar, right? It's Old Testament. So, it's not practical. When you love your neighbor, God said, love them as yourself. What does it mean? Treat them as you want others to treat you. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So think about it. You can love them that way. Okay. Okay, I'm not going to spend time more here because today I want to emphasize the other part. But without this great commandment, love God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself, is very important. How much important? Hey, do you know that? Luke 10, you know? Okay, Luke 10, verse 25 to 28. I'm going to ask you to read. Sister, would you read? Luke 10, 25 to 28.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto them, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
Okay, amen, amen. Look at that, verse 25, a lawyer came to Jesus. Lord, what can I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, as you know, eternal life has two dimensions. The first dimension, eternal life, is the life that is in Jesus. Okay, which you can receive right now here by repentance and believing in. And then the second dimension of eternal life is the ultimate salvation, which is the new heaven and new earth, as you know, right? So, he said, what shall I do to inherit the second dimension of eternal life? So Jesus goes, you are a teacher of law. What are you going to say? So he goes, love God and love your neighbor. So what Jesus said there, last scripture, last verse, Jesus said, do this, you shall live. Do this, you shall inherit eternal life. You see? So love God and love neighbor is so crucially important for you to get ultimate salvation. Do you understand? So please, I bless you, all of each of you. You walk for love. Okay? You do something, anything for love. Okay? Just please, whenever I woke up, I was working in Alabama. Whenever every morning I woke up, and then so happiness is in my heart because, okay, I'm going to love today for my work and my job place, right? So please, I bless really you do anything, you work for love others, okay? Amen. Amen. Okay, today, right now, the second poll for all believers must carry out, okay? Let you all, you can open your Bible, okay, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Okay. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Can I ask Bormati, please? She's today my reader. Thank you. Amen, amen. Jesus called, already told, have told his disciples, hey, come gather all together the Mount Olive. And then they all came. And then Jesus, right before his ascending, he commissioned these two powerful and important commission to his disciples, okay? Jesus said, hey, all authority in heaven and earth that I has given to me. Before Jesus died, he didn't have authority on earth, only has heaven. Why? Authority on earth was belong to the Satan. But through his death on cross, resurrection, and he took back again the power on earth. Okay? So power in heaven and earth was given to Jesus. And he goes, he's commissioned to his disciples, go and make actually teach all nations, right? In King James Version, teach all nations. What does it mean, teach here? Verse 19, teach. In Greek is mataitio. This term is shown just four times in the New Testament. Four times, okay? So actually this term, mataitio, in King James Version is teach. But actually rather than teach, it means train them. Okay? Train. Go and train them. Go and train all nations. This is what Jesus spoke about it. And he goes, can I ask you, in this the Great Commission, which you must carry out, there are two commanding verbs. What are they? The first one, go. And then next one, teach. So other versions can translate it like make disciples. Pretty, it's okay because teaching mataitio means train them. So make disciples can be okay to translate that way. Okay, so go and teach. Two commanding verbs, okay? So he said, hey, go. What does it mean? I believe there are two different meaning. Go. To make disciples, you have to go. You have to pack all things and go to out of state? No, okay? Some people, they have to do that, okay? But most of us, you can, what is the goal? It's God bless you in job place, in your family, as you go, right? As you go, Aldi, as you go, Walmart, as you go, Costco, like that. As you go, okay? Go, which is where God put you there, okay? In your family, in your job place, your co-workers, and they, like a client, like that. Go and teach, train them. Okay, my question. How you can make disciples? You can make disciples, how? Jesus already spoke how in this scripture. there are two particles here. How to make disciples? The first way is baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Okay? By baptizing them, you can make disciples. But that's the half. The other half is teaching them. You see? Teaching them. Baptizing them, you can make disciples. Baptizing them by teaching them. Okay? It's just clear, so simple. Jesus already told his disciples, hey, these are the ways to make disciples. Baptizing them and teaching them. Okay? So what is baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? There are three types of baptism. I want to right now show you what scripture says about it. And then if you do not know how to baptize people these three types of baptisms, you cannot make disciples according to what Jesus commissioned, right? So now let's go. What are three types of baptisms? First of all, the baptism in the name of the Father, right? In the Father. What does it mean? Father, when you someone repent, okay, and believe Jesus, repentance, believe in Jesus, Savior, is like same happening. Because repentance is turn away from sin and follow what God says. This is a biblical definition of repentance. So repent. When you repent, God Father will send Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, right? This is the first baptism in the name of the Father. So when you preach the gospel, please call people to repent. Okay? This is the way Jesus preached. When Jesus, as soon as he began his public ministry, he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Baptist John repented, preached, repent, kingdom of God is at hand, right? So how do you preach it? Just you preach just, hey, believe in Jesus, he's gonna remission your sin, hey, just believe. This is not biblical, my brothers, sisters. Biblical preaching is repent. Call them people, repent, to turn away from sin. Stop sinning, and believe in Jesus, okay? So one day I was preaching with some fellow Christians, believers. I just called people, hey, Jesus loves you. That's why he calls you to turn away from sin and follow Jesus. Repent. I called up repent. They say, why are you preaching? Repent. Just believe. No. It's not. This is not the Jesus way. This is not the Apostle Paul's way. Who would you follow? Would you follow Jesus? Or other religious leaders? No. Let's follow what Bible says. Let's follow what Jesus said. Jesus said, repent, right? Repent. That's why Jesus put repentance right before kingdom of God. Kingdom of God has three dimensions, as you are going to learn. Three dimensions. It is a part of the 45 weeks Bible textbook. You know, kingdom of God is right now here. Jesus brought it, okay? Where the Holy Spirit operates, kingdom of God. Second dimension of kingdom of God is paradise, which is where believers' spirit soul can go after they die, not body, okay? That's paradise. That's why when Jesus died on cross, one of a criminal said, oh Lord, when you get there today, your kingdom, please remember me. And then Jesus goes, okay, today you will be in paradise. You see, paradise, the second dimension of kingdom of God. And the third dimension of kingdom of God is the new heaven, new earth, where your spirit, soul, and your glorified body also, as a whole being, enter there. That's why the new heaven, new earth, is the ultimate kingdom. Your salvation shall be completed that place. Okay? So in that base, Jesus preached, hey, repent, kingdom of God is here. Baptist John, repent, the kingdom of God is here. Why? Repentance is the condition to enter kingdom of God that is here and now. Okay? So, yeah, repentance. So, I want to say, hey, when you preach the gospel, do not bring out just a cheap gospel. It's an unbiblical heresy. Okay? So you have to bring repentance first. Hey, repent. Right now you are sinning there. You have to stop sinning. Turn away. Leave there. And follow Jesus. Okay? This is the repentance. So you have to go first, repentance. You can see there are local churches, a lot of attendance there. But majority people, they are still living in sin. Why? They never have been repented. Why? Right? So they just like that. So when you repent, the Father God will send the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay? This is the baptism in the name of the Father. Okay? Second baptism is in the name of the Son, right? Name of the Son. Okay, hold on. I have to say, okay. Name of the Son. What do you mean? What does it mean? Actually, I should bring brother scriptures. Okay, name of the Son. What does it mean? Water baptism. Water baptism. Okay? So when you do water baptism, you die with Jesus, bury your old self, and rise up Jesus. Okay? This is what water baptism means. Spiritually united, being united with Jesus. Okay? So, do you know that? In the Bible, there is no sinner's prayer. But in the Bible, they believed in Jesus through water baptism. So water baptism is like a sinner's prayer. It's a modern way. You see? So when I preach the gospel out the street, anyone want to follow Jesus? Okay, I baptize them. Instead of repeating me like a sinner's prayer. Okay, turn away from sin, okay, die with Jesus. And bury your old self, bury what you have done wrong so far, all bury them. All sins you have committed, just bury them under water, and they rise up as a new creature. Okay, this is the water baptism, which is the baptism in the name of the Son. Okay, we need to understand clearly what Bible says about it so that you are going to make disciples. Without this truth, how can you make disciples, right? Okay, third time, the last type, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It's about power, related power. Holy Spirit will come upon you, not inside of you, okay? Come upon you. Book of chapter 1, 8 says, hey, wait, and Luke 4, 24 says, wait, the power will, until power come unto you, right? And then, yeah, so baptism in the Holy Spirit is a come upon believers. It's about the power. Okay, I'm going to say, hey, would you read the Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2? Everybody, okay, right? This is truth. Truth will set you free, okay? Yes. Yes. Okay, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Bormati, please.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying against the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrine of baptism,
amen. The author of the Hebrew, book of Hebrew, scholar says, some says Paul, some says Peter, but we're not sure. But the author of the Hebrew said, hey, go furthermore. Do not stay just basic doctrines of Jesus Christ. But we need to know what are the basic foundation of Jesus' teaching, right? The first one is repentance. You see? Repent. Repentance is always go first, okay? And then faith. And baptisms, right? Would you take a look at this plural? I mean, plural. baptism, su, is plural. So baptism is not just one. Okay, these are three types of baptism, plural. Okay, so you need to know that. And would you go Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17? Matthew 3, 13 through 17.
Okay. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well.
Amen. Look at the Jesus baptism, three baptisms here. Okay? Jesus came to the Baptist John. So, oh, I want to get baptized by you. So Jesus, John says, why you come to me? I should be baptized by you. Why you come to me? Jesus goes, hey, let's do it to fulfill all righteousness. Most of time, Bible says righteousness is like God's will. Okay, righteousness is God's will. So, hey, let's do so to fulfill all righteousness. So, Jesus, he was conceived by Holy Spirit. Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit? So that's why Holy Spirit already dwells inside of him. So he was not able to commit sin because of the Holy Spirit. He relied on the Holy Spirit. So he has no sin, okay? And one day he came to baptize John and he got baptized in water. In water, he didn't need to actually get baptized, but for God's will, for you to be a martyr, okay? He got baptized in water. And when he raised up right out of water, Holy Spirit as a dove come inside of him. No, come upon him. Three baptisms are shown in Jesus, right? For you to follow, for people, okay? So, yes. And would you go Book of Acts 2:38? Hey, brother, sister, too many scriptures? Are you okay? Okay, good. You are so hungry. Okay, Book of Acts 2:38. Okay, would you read it?
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. You know, after Jesus resurrected, he spent time 40 days with his disciples, and he gave Great Commission, go and make disciples, and he ascended. And for 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came upon 120 people, and they began to speak in tongues. And then people, wow, what they are doing so loud, so crazy. So many people crowded them. That's when Peter saw the crowd, he stood up, and he began to preach the gospel. Okay, hey, and he was quoting Psalms. Okay, he was resurrected. His name is Jesus. He's Messiah. But you crucified him. So people said, wow, what shall I do? Brothers, what shall I do? And then Acts 2:38, Peter answered to them who was trembling, what shall I do? First of all, repent. Look at that, please. Repent and be baptized. You see the water baptism, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Three types of baptisms is shown here. So whoever wants to be saved, please baptize them in three types of baptisms. Okay? One day I asked one of disciples, hey, will you baptize? Those people think about, oh, only pastors, only ministers can baptize. It's not. Whoever who follows Jesus, they can baptize. It's right, Pastor Obi? He's so right. Okay, so he released you to do the as like Jesus did it. So you are to live like Jesus, you know? Okay? So do like Jesus. Okay? So baptize them. First of all, you have people repent. Hey, Sira, you have to stop sinning now. If you live together without marriage, come out or marry right now. Okay? Do not stay there like us in sin. Okay? You have to turn away. Turn away means change it. Stop sinning. And then if you someone who just habitually still, you have to stop sinning to believe in Jesus. Okay? And then to believe in Jesus, you have to get baptized. So early church Christians, they believed in Jesus through water baptisms. See? So water baptism. And then ask the Holy Spirit baptize him, come upon them. Now, okay, I'm right now explaining to you how to baptize them. How to baptize them, right? So in order to make disciples, you have to baptize people in three types of baptisms. Okay, do you understand? Okay, good. If you understood, okay, let's just shout out, hallelujah, okay? Hallelujah! Yes, now you are able to start to make disciples. Okay? Okay? Because you know how to baptize people in three types of baptisms. Okay, now, but people, some groups, they just preaching the gospel, they just baptize people, and then they didn't go furthermore. If they do, they just obey half. What is it? Teaching them. You have to teach them. Okay? Teaching them. Not many churches, they just preaching the gospel. So when they preach the gospel, so precious. They are so precious. But if they stop there, they do not obey what Jesus commissioned yet. So you have to teach them. So now how to teach? How to teach? My paper, doesn't know. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much, Bormati. Okay. Now, hey, do you understand baptism in the name of the Holy Spirit? Actually, I explained about baptism in the name of the Son, but of the Holy Spirit. Can you explain, sister? I don't know. What is baptism in the name of the Holy Spirit? Okay, sorry, it's too difficult. Okay. Hey, would you open your Bible, Luke 24? 49, because you have to understand clearly. So Luke 24, 49, sorry about that. Okay, Bulma, do you read? Luke 24, 49.
And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Amen. Stay there until the power endued, right? So power is the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come upon you, right? Okay, Book of Acts 1:8. By the way, the author of Book of Gospel Luke and the author Book of Acts are the same, okay, the same person, which is Luke. His name is Luke. Book of Acts 1:8. Amen. Okay, so according to what Jesus said, in order to preach the gospel, you have to bring, get baptisms of the Holy Spirit. So most of evidence you got Holy Spirit baptism is speaking tongues, sometimes prophesying and sometimes praising the Lord. So, yes, do you speak in tongues? I saw. All right. Okay. Today, teaching right now, teaching them. So, my question: when you teach people, what content you have to teach others? What? Jesus said, Matthew 28:20 says, teach them to obey what I commissioned to you. So when you teach people, you have to teach them by what Jesus commissioned, what Jesus taught his disciples. Okay, my another question. Where are they? Where are the word that Jesus taught his disciples? Where is it? Four Gospels. Amen. Four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They are full of Jesus' teaching. And then the rest of the book of Acts to Revelation is like applied. What Jesus said, he taught, was applied to the life by his apostles who learned from him directly or indirectly. Right? So you can teach, first of all, four Gospels. Okay, and then the rest of New Testament also. Jesus said that you teach them with what I commissioned to you. Okay, and then how? I mean, for what? That you teach, okay, I teach you, I add new knowledge and add another new knowledge, and that's it? No. You have to check, they obey, they keep. When you teach them to obey, teach to keep. Okay, so it is very important. So when you teach them, you are going to teach 45 weeks, 1 year discipleship course textbook, permission of Pastor Obi. He was willing to use the textbook because this 45 weeks textbook is for 1 year. 1 year is 52 weeks, but sometimes, you know, independent July 4th break, or summer break, or Christmas break, or you know, Thanksgiving break. So I removed 7 weeks. So these 45 weeks for the all basic doctrines in their sound doctrine, so biblical, so powerful. What you learn right now is all the 45 weeks. So it's gonna be really powerful. I have people learned and changed. So in their mind, in their lives. So, okay, so you can teach them with that, but make sure, are they obeying? Do they obey or not? Okay, you have to make sure that. And the 45 course has the big four topics, four themes. The first theme is gospel. What is the gospel? Okay, second, what is salvation? Salvation has a two structure, already and not yet. Right? So all, most of all denomination, all churches just hang on just first aspect. Just already part. What about not yet part? That's why people get just lost. Right? So, the salvation part. And then the third theme is just live like Jesus. Mission. The last part is walking with God. Walking with God. We're gonna teach you how to hear God's voice. Okay? How to do journaling, how to see him, the simple. Okay, so these topics are for the 45 weeks course. Okay, I'm gonna closing with this one question. People, when I teach this great commission, you must carry out. Why just you people say, just love God, love people, that's great. But what about the exact same value that is the Great Commission? Why don't you care? Why don't you care, right? Would you open your Bible, John 12:48. Would you read when you find it? Oh, maybe this is not. John 12:48. Yes. Is it? Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you.
He that rejected me and receiveth not my words had one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Amen. Okay, look at that. When I said, hey, you are saved grace, by grace, but you're going to judge it by works. When I said, what? Jesus never come to judge it. Yes, right. Jesus came for to save, not judge. But what Jesus said will judge you. Okay? Not him, but the word that Jesus spoke will judge you in the last day. Even he said that, even he called his old disciples to gather together on the Mount of Olive, before he is ascending. And he called all his disciples and he gave the great commission to his disciples. Hey, go train people and baptizing them. How? By teaching them. Jesus commissioned to his disciples with great commission. Okay, think about that. In the last day, in the judgment day, he will not ask you, did you make disciples? Right? He would ask you. And then what Jesus said, the word that Jesus spoke, will judge each one of us on the judgment day, right? Bible said that. So, okay. But one day when I taught this, hey, you have to obey, keep, make disciples by baptizing people, you know, and teaching them. Do not leave them like orphans. Teach them. And he goes, oh, all people has a different gift. Someone can heal, healing. Someone can do other speaking tongues. Someone can do teaching, but not all same. Why should I make disciples? What do you think? His question. What do you think about his question? I can say, hey, okay, you have a different gift. With the different gift, you have to make disciples. Which job you are working at, it doesn't matter. If you are cooker, chef, you make disciples as a chef. If you are pastor, as a pastor, you make disciples. If you are like a teacher, you make disciples as a teacher. It doesn't matter what kind of gift you have. It doesn't matter what kind of your position. It doesn't matter. If you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus, you must carry out. He will ask you, where is your disciples? He will ask you, okay? So, make disciples is for all followers of Jesus. If you are his follower, you must carry out that. You must make disciples. If you are a follower, you must make disciples. Actually, not just disciples. It's not correct. Actually, you have to make disciple makers. Why I said that? Because Jesus commissioned this to his disciples. You see? So he was talking to his disciples to make disciples. So actually, your goal is make disciple makers who make others disciples. You see, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Set a goal. Your goal is not disciple, okay? Actually, but disciple makers who make disciple others. This is what Jesus commissioned to, actually. Okay? So I'm going to say this one quick. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. And I'm going to say quickly this one. They're almost done.
But all these work at that one and the self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Okay, amen. Oh, sorry about that. Okay, so thank you. You know, Paul was talking about the gift, right? Gift. And then he goes, he said that 11 is right. So he will divide to every man as he will, right? So people say, oh, I don't have that gift because God, Holy Spirit didn't give me. Is very unbiblical. Why? Let's go chapter 14, the same book, chapter 14, verse 1.
Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that he may prophesy.
Amen, amen. Why Paul said desire, yearn, spiritual gift, right? So look like, you know, when you understand, interpret the scripture, please ignore the chapters, ignore verses. Because chapters, verses was attached like just 500 years ago, just 700 years ago. So when you interpret the Bible, just ignore them all, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was talking, hey, this kind of thing is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will divide, distribute you. But, and then he goes, I'll show you the best way is the love. When you operate gift, you have to operate in love, okay? In love. Without love, it's nothing. So he was showing the best way, and then he goes, 14:1, desire, spiritual gift. So how can you harmonize between chapter 12, 11 to between and 14:1? Okay, look at that. Whatever, what kind of desire or gift, whatever you desire, he will give you. The Holy Spirit will give the gift as you desire. Okay? Because, and the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had is all inside of you, all each of you, right? Already inside of you. Already you have all kind of gift already. What you desire will manifest. Okay? What you desire. So, you can, so that you can live like Jesus. So do not limit yourself. Do not limit yourself. You can live like Jesus. So do not say, oh, every gift is different, people is different, so maybe not making disciples is not me. No. Any, what kind of gift you have, it doesn't matter. You make disciples with the gift. That's right? Amen. Okay, last verse, finally. John 14:12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
Amen.
Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Amen. Look at that. Whoever believes in Jesus, you will do whatever Jesus did it. That things that Jesus did it, and the more greater things. Are you a believer? You can live like Jesus. Just biblical truth. Okay? So it doesn't matter what kind of job you have, what kind of gift you have, you are to obey, must carry out the making disciple makers. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 God is good. Can you put Romans 10 from verse 8? But before I confirm, let me put it this way. Before I add to what we have had this morning without taking much time, I really want you to understand what God is doing. What you heard her say is basic Christian doctrine. What you just heard now is basic, fundamental Christian doctrine. And the reason why I believe we're starting from here is there are so many people here that don't have that basic understanding. Very basic. And we'll get to that. That's one, basic. So you might be saying, you know, this is that. This is just basic. Basic teaching on salvation. What is salvation? And the breakdown of the various levels of experiencing salvation. Salvation is a package. It's not just limited to being born again. So she was able to explain the three experiences you have, that which the feast also explains to you. So basically she's saying, using again that teaching of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for you to remember the package of salvation. Father means somebody gave birth to you. That's your Father. That's why you're born again, as the Father. The Son means you're God's Son. What makes you God's Son? He take you from darkness to light through the blood of the Son, the blood of Jesus. So there is that expression of being saved by the blood of the Lamb, which as you go through baptism, these things are explained to you. You are buried with Christ, you're risen with him. Now you're part of his kingdom. And then the discipleship that goes with it. Then after that baptism, what she's explaining is, if you're born of your Father, the Spirit of God is already in you. But then you need to be empowered. Then he's talking about the position of the Holy Spirit in your life, in the area of the gifts of the Spirit, discovering and walking in your gift. So basically, basic salvation, basic principles, basic doctrine. Amen? So that's what she's teaching. About heaven, it's very clear. The moment you die, Paul says, to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. So what she's breaking down again is just, we are here in this earth. Basically, you're saying, when we worship now, we're here. But we are worshiping God because God is here. So she's trying to explain that aspect of being connected to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen? Amen. As a born-again child. Now, when we read that scripture, we are in Mount Zion. He's explaining to you by the Spirit where the kingdom we belong to. Amen. Jesus said the kingdom of God is here, is in you, is upon you. So again, she's going through just basic things most people probably have not been taught to take us to where we understand what it means to really disciple other people. Because these are the basic, the moment people get saved, these are basic questions they will ask you. And then, explaining those dimensions about, you know, when you're here, you also, heaven is your breath because you're born again. But then it doesn't stop here. That's what she's trying to say. You die, you go to heaven. But then he says, eventually, when death and everything is judged, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. She was explaining eternal life. When all this chapter is closed with Satan, then there is now this final eternal life. Revelation 22. Amen? So that is just, she's just giving you basic things when people just get born again. Basic questions they will ask. Amen? And the reason I talked about the scripture, Romans 10 from verse 8, in every one of what she's teaching you about the basic of repentance, baptism, and being filled with the Spirit, has to also do with what you see in Romans 8 when Paul was teaching. Amen? About confession. Amen? You have to, when you believe, you can't believe if you read it, but what say the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which will what? Preach. What's the next verse? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. What's the next scripture? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with what? The mouth, confession is made unto salvation. What's the name? For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. Then instead of reading further, then it's, it goes, it's, how shall they believe without a preacher? So a preacher would speak on a podium like Jesus did in anywhere, preach to you about the kingdom of God. Amen? And then when you hear the preaching, it pricks your heart and it asks you to repent. Amen? Amen? So you've heard the word of the kingdom. Then he's saying, the reason Jesus is talking about repent is he's been preaching about the message of the kingdom. So repent so that the kingdom of God, you can receive it. Amen? So, like what she did now, you will not understand this basic doctrine without teaching, without preaching. And then you believe, and then you're saved. So she just basically breaking down basic doctrines of the church and simplifying it in ways that a newborn child can receive it. Amen? And you'll be able to make disciples that make disciples. And then finally, I said I came up here to say all this because when I first came to America, my accent was a problem when people are trying to listen to me. Amen? It makes some people listen harder. It makes some people say, what did you say? Amen? Amen. So I just summarized just so that in case the accent was a problem, you listen well. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we really want to thank God for Dr. Hagen. Amen. Now, amen. There are different gifts in the body of Christ. There is the apostle, there is a prophet, there is a teacher, there is the evangelist, there is the pastor, and the administration, and then all these all have various giftings and various functions. Amen? When the teaching gifts, the teaching is what equips you. Amen? And what helps you to really enjoy the gifts. Amen? And so when somebody is teaching, they teach you when you can receive knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Amen? Amen. 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 So that way you receive. You have to have knowledge. That knowledge keeps you. You have to have understanding. Amen? And then you have to have wisdom to apply those things. That's how God built this whole thing. So that's what we're receiving. So what we're receiving now, we're going to now go deeper. You just talk the surface. So these next two Wednesdays, she's going to take us to the next level. I think then you will understand more. She's not a doctor, just doctor. She knows how to teach. Amen? Amen? Amen. She's taking you from level to level. So this Wednesday, in place of our bread of life, we really want to digest this. So we are encouraging you to make it a priority to come this Wednesday and next Wednesday. So she's going to teach on real evangelism, making, and then she's going to teach of how to make disciples. Amen. Amen? So we'll go from the milk, then we'll go to the meat. Amen? And just so come this Wednesday and let us learn together. And so that you will see people a little bit differently at your workplace, at different places you go. Everybody say GPS. Amen. That's what we've been trained. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for our guest speaker again. Amen. And baptism also is a symbolism of coming out of one kingdom to the kingdom of God. Amen. So now, as always, it's our first Sunday. And the reason we take communion every first Sunday is to obey the words of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, Paul said it, Jesus said it in the Gospels, that as often as we take this communion, we bring into remembrance what Christ has done for us and the covenant he has with us. Amen? Amen. One, through this communion, through this blood, we are God's children. We are citizens of heaven. Amen? Amen. 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 So we have the benefits of heaven through this blood. When we take it, we remind ourselves of not just what Jesus did, but what the blood means to us. Amen? Amen. Healing, protection, provision. Amen. All the resources of heaven is in this blood. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so because of this blood, We have power to use his name. And he will answer us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So as we take communion this morning, Kizia will come and join me. Amen. Let's take it in various ways of remembrance. Let's take this communion today. Among other things, let's remember the commission. That we're called to go. Where he leads, I will follow. We're called to go and teach and train and make disciples. Amen? So, as we take the communion, let's take this again to let the Lord know, as citizens of heaven, we are taking this in remembrance of this message. He says, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, one breath, to follow Jesus. I have decided, Gibson, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus,
no
turning back,
no turning back.
That's the covenant. Lead us in prayer.
Father, thank you. We are so grateful that you called us to yourself. And today we can truly say, Abba, Father. Thank you for the gift of your Son and for the blood of your Son and for all you did, O God, to obtain our salvation. Today we come in remembrance of the body of Jesus that was broken for us to grant us eternal life, to raise us from death to life. We receive, O God, even as we are taught this morning, not just life here, but life eternally. Let none of us miss this in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us to be able to take this message of the gospel to others that are dead in sin, that they too will come out and be saved. So we remember what you did today and we say thank you. In Jesus' name.
You can take the cross before me, the world behind. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back.